it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We were just speculating what the group chat was like in the Blazers. Blazers players group chat.
You think there was anyone like, oh, I might play now?
Maybe. I mean, self-preservation, everybody looking out for themselves. It's also like, Jesse just pointed this out because we were trying to timeline this thing. It was between 6 and 7 a.m. when this story really, really, really started to cook. Them brothers was asleep.
Yeah.
They woke up to their coach being in jail.
Some people, first thing you do, wake up, scroll Twitter real quick. Yeah. And you wake up, wait, yeah.
You imagine them guys waking up and there's like 110 messages from like your general manager and your front office. And we don't even know if they got the heads up. They may have
right.
just been,
it might
like,
have
how
just
did they
happen?
There was one guy too. So
did they find out that Chauncey Billups was arrested when Chauncey Billups was arrested and the FBI told us?
Some of the players definitely did.
Oh,
absolutely did.
There's one guy in that group chat too. So does this mean, do we go to practice today or?
Well, you must have immediately have got, there had to have been a message from someone in your front office. Hey guys, show up to practice as normal. We'll talk about this when you get here. We'll talk about this when you get here. Where is, be even crazier, like if Portland was on the road or something. Where does Portland play tomorrow?
The Warriors. Well, the next game is against the Warriors. I don't
it's
know
at home.
It's
yeah, yeah, yeah. So Portland's at home. Yeah, Portland's at home. So the shout out to the Warriors. I think that's the first back to back of the season.
Oh, they play them Friday night.
Yeah, because yeah, they got the they yeah they're tonight. Yeah, they got Denver tonight in Denver's season opener, and then they'll have Portland tomorrow. Do I get this right?
So yeah,
yeah, yeah. Warriors at Blazers on Friday.
Yeah, Chauncey Billups, NBA champion, Mr. Big Shot, all the stuff got arrested. So it's pretty wild.
Arrested? That's the crazy part to me is like we've seen this stuff before where it's like, oh, they're investigating. Now these dudes, they put them in the cuffs. Wow.
Carl kind of mentioned too on the insiders earlier. Like it's not like Jonte Porter, no disrespect, where it's like, oh, this relevant player or whatever. Like Chauncey Billups, Terry was there. Like those are names.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't just dismiss them. Once again, no disrespect to him, but you can dismiss Jonte Porter. You can't dismiss Chauncey Billups and to a certain degree, Terry Rozier.
I James said it on the air earlier, so I can't hit the music. $106.8 million is what Chauncey made in his playing career. Again, we went over this. That's what he made. That's what his contracts are. Mm-hmm. He played in a different era, man. Like Chauncey's peak earnings. Anyone unofficial, not part of the season, just on? Doing. Nope, nope, nope.
18
nope,
million.
Just doing a radio show. Thank you, Jesse. Peak earnings. Anyone want to guess the most amount of money that Chauncey Billups earned in a single season?
Jesse Billups over there said it pretty quick and matter of fact. Jesse Rozier.
Okay, wow.
You got your nerve, pal.
Yeah. If I did it Caraway.
I would say, you said how much the most he made
in a single season. Remember, he earned $106.8 million in his career. That's a total of 17 seasons.
I'm going to go $14 million.
Yeah, yeah. The number is 13.1.
Count it.
I already said it didn't count.
There was no music.
Count it.
I said it before we even started.
And one.
It doesn't count. No. No.
This was like one of those where you go play
4 years before the end of his career.
This is like one of those prison exhibition, like we go play at the Playard working with the
damn. We went to Folsom Prison to play a pickup.
Little charity showcase. A little charity showcase. But yeah, $106.8 million in just his playing career. Remember, Chauncey, for a brief time, was also a television analyst.
And James pointed out, too, he probably made another $20 million as a coach.
Yeah. How long has he been? How long has he been the Clippers?
I want to say 4 years.
Blazers coach. Because he signed an extension.
Yeah.
So it's had to have been, I would think, a minimum of 4 years.
Yeah. Man.
Wow.
So the way that I've read it, heard it, I know Kyle was breaking it down, is so far it feels like they might have, like, whoever presented it to Chauncey was like, hey, why don't you come play in this poker game? We got your name on it. We'll pay you $100,000 or whatever. Why don't you come be a part of it? So far, that's what it sounds like. It doesn't sound like he was the one scheming the people or...
Right, because the thing, that game that you're referring to was rigged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know, though.
I don't know. Like, I don't know... Well, I don't know what you do with that. Like, I know there's a lot of receipts starting to appear. How these types of allegations, I guess, have been around Chauncey for, I mean, going back several years at this point. I think the point Kyle brought up earlier is one of the most interesting. We don't know what the NBA knew. We don't know what the FBI knew. We don't know. Well, I think we're starting to get an idea of what the FBI knew. We don't know how much information those two entities shared with each other. The NBA may very well have done an investigation where they just kind of closed their eyes, looked around and goes, yeah, we don't see anything too crazy. Or they may have looked for very, very specific things. Mm-hmm. Is there any evidence that Terry Rozier did something to affect the outcome of a basketball game? And if the answer was no, that satisfied their investigation and they left it.
Yeah. Yeah, and hoped for the best. Hoped that it would go away.
Yeah. And maybe they hoped the same would be true with meaning the NBA, would be the same true with Malik Beasley. Again, Hammer brought this up earlier. It was Chris Haynes that mentioned, like, yeah, it's the NBA portion might be over. The FBI is not done with Malik Beasley. They are not done with any of this. So good for the NBA, but the FBI is not done with this.
And it sounds like also these are not related incidents. Like, Chauncey is not related to Terry Rozier, which is not related to Damon Jones.
Right. Oh, the Damon Jones one. Boy, the amount of conspiracy theories that are now circulating around Damon Jones are crazy.
Did you see the Gilbert Arenas clip?
Dear God, no.
So, but this was like Gil was on Shannon. This was in the past.
Okay.
And he was on Shannon Sharpe's show.
Okay.
And they go back to when Gilbert missed the free throws in the playoffs and LeBron comes and talks to him, right? So Gilbert says, so Shannon was like, what did he say to you? And he goes, yeah. He came over to me and he said, you know, if you miss this, you know who's winning. He's going to win. And Gilbert goes, I knew what he was talking about. Everybody thought he was talking about, like, the game or LeBron's going to win or whatever. He said, me, LeBron, and Damon Jones used to play cards and play for money and stuff like that. And Damon Jones was awful, like a terrible cards player, and I would always joke with him, talking about Gilbert Arenas. I'd always joke with him, saying like, "Yep, landlord's here. Time for you guys to pay my rent, give me my money." Da 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 da. And he said, "I didn't remember it this way. I thought LeBron hit a layup in that game to win it. I don't know, but I do remember Damon Jones hitting the game winner." And Gil was like, "That's what he was talking about." He was like, Damon Jones is going to hit this game winner. He about to collect on everything that you just took from him a long time ago. And I guess LeBron passing the ball, Damon Jones, I remember him hitting the game winner. I didn't think it was that moment. But now they're looking at that. Like, Damon Jones is involved with Gil.
Did you see the other one?
What's that?
The J.R. Smith one?
No.
J.R. Smith, the game one, the famous LeBron meme.
Oh, man.
Damon Jones was the assistant coach.
Oh, man.
You remember who J.R. Smith threw soup at?
Yeah.
It was Damon Jones. Look, like, this is the rabbit hole that opens up.
One rogue assistant
coach.
Yeah,
when you start having these discussions, this is the rabbit hole that opens up. Damon got brought into this because of the LeBron thing, where I guess this was weird to me for multiple reasons. He worked out LeBron on the court. He didn't work for the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm-hmm. Maybe he worked for LeBron. Maybe, I don't know.
He's like a shooting coach for LeBron,
I guess. Yeah, yeah. And he worked out LeBron on the court when LeBron was with the Lakers that year. He broke Kareem's record. Mm-hmm. And I guess Damon shared information that LeBron was not going to play in a certain game, and wagers started rolling in, and there it is.
Mm. Damon Jones.
You know, can I tell you?
Dude, man, he got connections all over the
place. Can I tell you my first reaction to that, though, is the desperate need to involve LeBron James in some sort of scandal.
Mm.
Like, LeBron is going to be asked about that. LeBron has already been asked about that. The Lakers have been asked about that. Mm-hmm. They have tried to tie LeBron James to some sort of scandal for years. Maverick was involved in something a few years ago that people didn't like. And they, LeBron, you know, like, what does this mean? It's like, nothing. Like, Maverick's literally his own man. But if you can draw a line from individual to LeBron James, you're going to get LeBron James' name into this. Yeah. Like the picture that I think it was The Athletic used for their story on Damon Jones was not Damon Jones.
That's crazy, bro.
You know exactly who it was.
Yeah.
It was LeBron James.
It's the king and the kings. That's all they try to do to get clicks.
That's right. That's right. Damn right. King and the King. We'll come back. We will return.
I got
to the Kings.
I got about LeBron. There was a funny little tweet that went out. I don't know if you saw it, but I'll talk
probably
to you about
didn't.
It when we come back.
I'm done with Twitter for the next like 6 months.
You talking about the middle name tweet?
No. Something else. I want to see if you guys saw it or not.
We'll pay that off, and we'll get to Keon Ellis's minutes or lack thereof. Wendell and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I thought it was going to say welcome back to D'Lo and Casey, but it didn't. So we just get back up in here. And we remind you, the Baker Family Wines is celebrating 6 years in Sacramento. Big thanks to Dusty. I got to play the clip that Dusty came in to record for you coming up here in just a few minutes. I'll have Jesse loaded into the system for us. But we're celebrating 6 years of Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento on Sunday, November 2nd. Make your plans to be out there. Festivities begin at noon. There's going to be pizza. There's going to be desserts. There's going to be some great wine. There's going to be live music. There's going to be a time. Don't worry about missing football. They'll be on the TVs. It is 6 years of Baker Family Wines in West Sacramento.
I love it. I love it, man. Shout out Baker Family Wines. I need to get in there and give me some of that rosé. That's what I need to do.
Yeah. Because that long been gone.
Yeah.
That rosé long been gone.
Real quick, let me pay off this tease real quick. We were talking about LeBron. Did you see the tweet from, you wouldn't recognize the name, but Jacob the Clipper? He's an NBA guy. He goes, here's the video footage of Jordan making that free throw he talked about on his show on NBC.
Oh, I saw that.
Just in case you were wondering, Mike doesn't make up stories. He's very authentic, unlike some people today. And somebody else was like, yeah, my goat doesn't lie.
Okay, that's kind of funny.
But there's the video of Mike at the
shooting the free throw with the kids. Yep. Shooting the free throw with the kids.
Mike said he was stressed.
Yeah, and it's not a kid either. It's like three of them. He's also shooting on like a tennis court. Yeah. It's not even like I envision like a indoor, you know, gym or something.
That's what the rich people do. They have the tennis court, maybe pickleball, and you have the basketball area as well.
I guess. I just didn't expect Jordan to be shooting on one of them. Because when the camera moved, I was like, is that a net?
Mike.
They ain't even running full court out here.
That's crazy. Well, no, that's the rich there. I'm looking at it right now. That's a full court.
Oh, is it? It just has the tennis thing across.
Yeah, that's how big that space is.
Oh my God,
that's a full court. There's a hoop on the other side.
I meant is there's the tennis net right there.
Yeah.
I didn't see the hoop on the other side. Okay,
that's your backyard right there, big dog.
Not even close.
That
buddy.
Is yours.
Not even close, buddy.
Like shooting a free throw for these little snotty nosed kids. And cashed out too. Cashed out. That's what my goal to do. You think LeBron making that free throw?
Yeah.
LeBron ain't making that free throw. Mike making that free throw.
Oh, will you stop?
Making that free throw. Mike cashing out. All net.
I don't know why this is making me laugh. I just came across the tweet. I'm sorry. It's not funny. Guys, it's not funny. The Trailblazers have canceled media availability for today.
Oh, why would happen?
Why would happen?
What's going on?
That's not funny.
It's kind of funny.
Come on, guys, get it together.
I wonder if anybody on that team got to practice without knowing what had happened.
Oh, let's run through the roster real quick.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Got to practice and just didn't know what was going on. It's got to be one person.
Like, is there someone who? No, there's
Drew
no
Holiday's
way.
Has been known to be on Instagram. So
there's, no, but there's no way. There's not a group text. There's no way. There's not a player group text going on.
There is a way. There's not a player group text.
You think so?
No. I don't need to be texting with everybody. I don't even need to be in a group. That we don't even need to form a group text sometimes in some teams.
Kenny barely texts in ours.
That is cap.
To be fair, you actually texted yesterday. Damian didn't text yesterday. Or this morning, I think it was. Yeah, this morning.
That's cap.
Yeah.
You guys are my team. But there's not a Odyssey group chat. There's group chats within the players.
Well, there is. It's just, oh, we got donuts today. It's that group chat. No shots fired at Kyle Mattson. Shout out.
I love that you looked right over at Kyle. I didn't mean you. I didn't mean you. I meant, you know, everybody else.
Do you think?
I met JC and his little Wednesday donuts that he brings in.
Do you think Matisse Thybulle is in the group chat? Like,
I refuse to believe that someone showed up to practice.
Ryan
someone
Rupert?
Showed up.
Yeah, to Ryan Rupert. What do you think about Ryan Rupert?
Oh, look, no, I'm not gonna do that because that's mean. That's mean. Maybe Ryan Rupert wanted people.
Maybe.
Maybe Ryan Rupert was out getting Dunkin' Donuts for the crew because he's a young guy or whatever.
Like, no one was at the facility when it happened.
Oh, no, it's way too early for that.
I No.
All right. Oh, man. Well, interesting day in Portland.
You think Dame being the vet like has to round the crew up together and is like, hey, guys, so, yeah. Coach got arrested this morning.
Hey, Nick Clifford
Coach
is out.
Coach got arrested.
Hey.
Yeah, I know it's tough, but.
Hey, Nick Clifford is out.
Oh, my gosh. What happened to
him? Is this serious? Is this for real? Nick Clifford is out. Sean Cunningham tweeted this a minute ago.
Like, what do you mean?
MRI revealed a right hamstring strain for Kings rookie Nick Clifford, and he'll be out for tomorrow's home opener.
Hey, look, fun's over.
The Kings have to fold tomorrow. Yeah. Hey, look, the Kings are just like, we can't play.
Maybe it's me. Cardi B, am I the drama? Because all my teams just can't stay healthy. None of them. Did you see Domino Lenore's hurt?
You know what? You're right.
Yeah, maybe.
This
maybe
is
it's
your
me.
Fault.
Maybe it's me. Am I the drama? What the hell is going on?
Throw some icy hot on there or something.
This is,
we need you.
This is absolutely. I want to be clear. Kyle Mattson didn't just walk in here. He marched in here.
What did you do, Kenny?
Hey, this is a streaming show too, pal. Just pop that camera up a little bit so people can see you.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Niners dropping like flies. Kings can't keep anybody healthy.
Kyle Mattson did say the other day, though, he wanted the Kings to have the type of season the Niners were having.
He said that? It's not me anymore.
Maybe he was talking about them winning and overcoming this, but they are maybe on their way to having the season that the Niners are having.
Oh, he said that you said you wanted the Kings to have the type of season the Niners are having.
That's not what I said. That's not what I said. I mean, it's kind of what I said, but not like this.
Hey, this is stupid.
That's insane, dude.
So, Isaac Jones was on the floor. And Domantas Sabonis was as well. So just notes. Kings practice opened up. Sean Cunningham says Isaac Jones, he's battled illness. He was on the court shooting. Domantas Sabonis is taking part as well. And Nick Clifford is out tomorrow. He'll be reevaluated in a week. So Nick Clifford is out tomorrow.
Oh, brother.
Nick Clifford is out Sunday. Nick Clifford is out Wednesday in Chicago. I'm sorry, Nick Clifford is out Tuesday against the Thunder.
Wednesday in Chicago.
And Wednesday in Chicago. And the next game after that will be Saturday in Milwaukee.
All right, man. I don't think he's playing in that game. When are they coming home? They coming home after that.
The following Wednesday, November 5th, they will take on the Golden State Warriors.
That's probably the first time you might see Nick again. We're talking about 10 days. 10, 11, 12 days. Damn, bro. Damn. All right, man.
Why are you off screen? What happened to where'd Kyle go?
Because I was working on leaving.
Oh, are you? Well, you were standing there, so I
yeah. While this is all going down, I was going to pick a better time to leave, so I didn't rudely interrupt the show again.
Oh no, you could leave whenever you want to, or you can stay. Are you new? You can do whatever you want. Literally have people walking in, going "Oops," and leaving. It's perfectly fine. You can leave whenever you want.
No, I just wanted to know what deal Kenny made with who.
Well,
man, this don't make
was
no
the compound
sense.
Worth it?
Word rhymes with devil. Yeah,
this don't
that's
make
a good
no
point.
Damn sense.
This explains it was the devil of Elk Grove. That's why Kenny owns half of it because he was like, "Hey, just sell out my teams."
This week,
the diamond crusted hat's worth it.
This week, I lost Domantas Sabonis.
Yep.
Bryce Huff.
Yep.
D'Amador Lenore.
Yeah.
Nick Clifford?
Yeah.
Am I forgetting anybody else? Somebody else was on the 49ers injury.
Well, Jake Brendel, but.
Well.
Some losses are welcome. You guys are terrible. Get out. That is just terrible behavior from the editor-in-chief over at NinersWire.com. My goodness.
Get well soon, Jake.
Dude, who cares about Jake? Get well, Nick Clifford.
Oh, man.
What a mess. Nick Clifford was legitimately a bright spot yesterday.
He was.
And he's out.
So the one thing I can say, and I'm not happy about that, but the one thing that I can say is I'm glad to hear, first of all, Isaac was back at practice.
Yeah.
And
well, Okay, let me read this verbatim. Kings practice has opened up. The scheduling time, I believe, for that was 1:15 today. Kings practice has opened up. Isaac Jones, who has battled an illness, is on the court shooting. Domantas Sabonis is taking part as well. I don't know for certain that they practice. Shooting and practicing aren't necessarily the same thing.
You're right.
Especially if practice is over, they could just have gotten on the floor to get some work in.
No, you're right. You're right. Now, I will say, look, son, if you can walk, you're playing.
Well, that might look. Hey, Isaac, I don't know what illness this is, but unless it's that weird thing that Kristaps Porzingis had where he can't stand up, you're going to have to play.
Oh, hey, look, man.
Hey, you know what? Our five is down. Our four is down. Our replacement four is down. Let's take our three and make him a four. Great. He's down. At this point, guys, I've got great news for you. I got great news for everybody. They're starting Keon Ellis at the four.
There we go.
On Friday.
Look, you know, I'm not even going to say their name, but I opened up Twitter just real quick to get more info on Neek. The first tweet I get is from a company saying, Neek Clifford hamstring to miss 1 week. It's not Prize Picks.
No.
But I was like, okay.
No.
How y'all know? How y'all know?
Here, guys, the truth is Neek Clifford has been arrested. He was a part of the gambling ring.
What, did Damon Jones say something to you too?
He his under was 5 last night. So I thought it was a little shaky.
All right, well, look, let's go there, though. Let's go there. You talked about Keon Ellis and his minutes last night. A lot of people not happy about the amount of minutes Keon played last night. He ended up playing, what did he end up playing?
I think it was 12 minutes. He played less minutes than Dylan.
Yeah, 12 minutes.
Yeah, he played less minutes than Dylan Cardwell did. He played less minutes than Russ. He barely played more minutes than Max. And that's about it.
People are upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. I get it. I
understand that they're upset.
Yeah, I get it. I was watching the second half over, and I don't know. I was looking for a spot where Keon could go in or maybe play more minutes. Didn't really feel like I saw it, though. I didn't really feel like I saw the space for him to get out there over some of the guys who were out there on the court. One spot might have been, I think, middle of the fourth quarter, Neek Clifford was out there. Maybe you have Keon out there instead of Neek. Once again, everybody wants to see Neek play.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been maybe the place. But I thought, obviously, DeRozan was really good in the fourth quarter. Zach LaVine was not good in the fourth quarter. We'll talk about him. But he had a great game, you know, up until that point. Like, yeah, you're gonna go win or lose that game with Zach LaVine on the court. He's not coming out. Malik Monk was out there later in that game.
That's right, yeah.
He was really good.
Yep.
I don't think he's coming out. And Dennis Schroeder in the second half and in the fourth quarter, I thought Dennis Schroeder was really good. I thought his defense was exactly what the team needed. I thought he picked up his defensive intensity.
Yeah, we haven't talked about much about Dennis. I thought Dennis was really solid too.
Yeah, he did some good stuff. So I don't know where those minutes are coming from in that particular situation.
Yeah.
And then earlier in the game, everybody was playing great. You know what I'm saying? For the most part. So
the thing is, I think the thing that's frustrating those Keon fans or Kings fans in general. Mm. Is when he played really well too. And this, I thought Keon played well.
He did good.
I think this falls into, this is that trap of DeMar was playing well. Zach was hot at a point in the game, and you kind of want to ride that. And the same is true for Malik. Malik was hot at a point in the game, and you want to ride that. there's going to be games where those guys aren't hot, mm-hmm. and you can leave Keon out there in longer stretches. Mm-hmm. But I think, man, Keon is not a situational role player in terms of Mike used that term after DNP. Mm. His minutes might be situational, though. Mm. If Malik hadn't come out firing the way that he was, we probably would have seen more Keon Ellis minutes.
That's a good point, yeah.
And I don't, like, I think Malik had a bigger impact on Keon's minutes than DeMar or LaVine did, mm-hmm. because I think Doug will lean on DeMar and Zach more to figure it out if it's not going well for them than he will Malik. Mm-hmm. And so if DeMar and Zach aren't having that hot start, I still think they're getting their minutes, whether anyone likes that or not. And I think it's because Doug will trust them that if it's a game where you need score, it's a game where you need buckets, you're going to leave those two guys out there. Mm-hmm. But because Malik was playing the way that he was, I think it's 27 minutes for Malik. I don't think Malik is averaging 27 minutes a night unless he is, in fact, again, a sixth man of the year candidate. If he's not, I think he's closer to the 22 mark, and now all of a sudden you've got Keon up at 17 without factoring in anyone else. Right. But that was just the circumstance of last night's game.
Right.
And I know people hate it, and I understand.
Yeah.
I completely get it.
I thought Keon was fine. He did some good things out there. I don't think it was anything that he did specifically that kept him from being out there on the floor. You put it perfectly. I thought it was more so the way these other guys were playing.
Mm-hmm.
You look down the stretch of that game, like I said, last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, like who's coming out the game?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody needs to come out of the game that was out there in that, you know, guard position. So,
and Malik essentially was, when you talk about starters, Malik, Neek was out, mm-hmm. Eubanks was out, Dylan was in, Malik was in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Overall, you talk about what happened with Malik and how he was playing. If he doesn't have it that night, maybe he doesn't play as much. Like you said, maybe he takes 5 minutes off. That 5 minutes goes to Keon. If the run doesn't happen where the Phoenix gets into the game a little bit more and they just kind of take over the game, maybe DeMar doesn't play 37 minutes that night. Maybe that's another two or 3 minutes. Sure. Where Keon can get out there. And like you said, we go from 12 to 17 to 20 minutes just like that.
And it's not just offensive stuff. If the fifth comes around and it's Keon on Steph Curry and Steph has got 12 in the fourth quarter because Keon's been guarding him for 26 minutes, Doug's, I don't think, taking him out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, or if he's taking him out, he's taking him out at the exact time Steph Curry is out. And the second Steph Curry comes back in, Keon Ellis is coming back in. Yeah. I think the hot hand accounts for the defensive side of the ball as well.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Jay Hardaway, our guy in the Chatty House, says Monk was getting cooked on defense. I thought he did well on defense. I thought everybody actually did well on the defensive end. I think there was a little bit of overhelping leading to some wide open three-pointers. But one-on-one, defending the ball, I thought everybody was okay. I'm not saying they were the glove or nothing like that, but I thought everybody was okay. I thought Schroeder was really good in the fourth quarter guarding the ball. We saw 94 feet. We saw him cause that 8-second violation, mm-hmm. and he took a charge from Devin Booker. He was doing a really good job.
He got a steal, too.
Yeah. One of the biggest shots of the game that Booker hit, when he got that ball and it was cleared out around the middle of the court, and he hit a shot, I think, to put him up by three. Once he got the ball, I said, that's his office right there. Like, that's going to be tough for him to not score there. And sure enough, he was able to shoot right over the top of Dennis Schroeder. But I thought man-to-man, I thought the Kings, in that fourth quarter at the very least, I thought they stepped up to the physicality of the game, and I thought they played better on the defensive end. The game was won in that third quarter for Phoenix when they were able to kind of impose their will and pick up the intensity of that game. So
let's see what TC's talking about here on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320 if you want to get in. TC, what's happening, baby?
Man, what's up with my two brothers?
Good, man. How you doing, TC?
I'm vibing, bro. I'm not even really angry, though, right? It's the first game. I seen what I need to see out of the players I need to see. Meek stepped up. Maxine needed to get stronger, you know. Hold on. Before we get started, though, let's clarify what I was talking about with Russ and Meek, right? I was talking about with that situation.
TC, no one knows what you're talking about, bro. No one knows what you're talking about.
Let me fill everybody in. So when I called into the insiders earlier, I said, you know what? I said on that play when Russ dribbled around when Meek was in the corner and Meek was wide open and Russ did like a little like drive and then shot that little, it was like a little ugly, like I don't know what it was. It was like a mid-range jumper, bro. Hard off the plank. I said, you know what that was? That was Russell Westbrook looking at Meek, not in a bad way, saying, I'm not passing you the ball, but, hey, youngin, I believe in you, bro. I need you to always be in killer mode, right? This is how I want you to adapt. I can pass it to you, but I want you to be in killer mode and go get your shot. You can pass the ball around, but you can't forget to be in killer mode. That's what I took from that position. It probably was a bad basketball situation in many eyes, but in my eyes, bro, that's how I took that situation. I thought my boy Shooter did well on Booker last night. He held his own, right? This is a game that we was looking from Shooter. As far as Westbrook, D'Lo, I don't really care how many shots he missed, bro. That lead that we had to me was a part of Russ, as well as everybody else. But the force and the gravity that Russ brings, bro, that's why we was up almost 20 points in my opinion. So that loss last night had nothing to do with Russell. He missed shots, but that's not on Russ, bro. We're not going to get on his airwaves talking about we lost the game because Russell, because people hate him, bro. No, that's all I got.
Okay. All right, TC. All right, TC. That play that he's talking about, I didn't catch that. I was just Russ taking a ball to the basket and shooting it.
Yeah, it's
all his fault, guys.
To TC's point, though, or to be fair to him, he's defending Russ. He's saying,
"No,
yo,
I hear it. I understand." I think.
I don't think anyone's blaming that game on Russ, too, though.
I think my dearest brother might be overthinking it a little bit. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't. Yeah, I'm like I said. I remember that play. I'm watching it again right now. It was just a regular basketball play. I don't think it was a teaching moment or nothing like that. I do think people, I don't think they're blaming the game on Russ, but I think people are mad that Russ played 18 minutes and Keon played 12.
Do you think that's unfair?
Yeah, no, it's not. I think you're right.
And I don't
think you're absolutely right, Casey.
I understand how people feel that way. I don't feel like that's the reason why the game ended up being what it was. You know what I mean? Like, one guy played 18, the other played 14. They lost by four. If you would have flipped their minutes, I'm not sure they would have won by four.
Does Keon need to start playing those minutes, though? Like, does he need to start playing maybe 18 to 20, whatever number in the 20s you want, minutes a game? Like, is it time where Keon Ellis isn't just a, lack of a better term, situational role player for the Kings, where if this night, if we can use him, sure, we'll play him 20 minutes. Like, should he just be an everyday, every game rotation player now, though? Like, has he kind of graduated from where he's at?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of feels like he is. It's just not the amount of minutes people want.
Like maybe, Russ needs to play 12 minutes tonight because we got to get Keon on the court. Like, just Keon's a player now you just need on the court.
So the answer, this is a question to the minutes issue yesterday, was to play Russ less and Keon more.
I'm just talking going forward. Like my question is just if Keon needs to be a guy where it's like he's the priority off the bench, like a Malik Monk and stuff like that. Like, just where, like, okay, we can't play Keon 10 minutes tonight. Like, he's got to play more than that.
So, whoa, 142. This isn't going to work. Let's come back.
I got
and have that discussion.
Too. I got another question.
Is it about Keon?
About Keon and all that. Okay. So we'll get into it all.
All right, we'll come back. You want to share your thoughts on Keon Ellis and his 12 minutes? Go ahead. You want to share your thoughts on any of this, man? Go ahead. Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. Steeler 1KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, you had a thought on Keon Ellis. Again, if you want to get in on this conversation, man, please do. Coach Brendan Merriam going to join us probably in about 30 minutes or so. So everybody get ready.
Get
your screen record ready. Get your Sac State stats, Montana stats ready. And then Matt George in the final hour of the show. Once he wraps up his meetings, he's going to join us probably around 3:20, 3:30 or so. Matt George will be with us. You had something on Keon Ellis you wanted to share as we continue this conversation.
Yeah, or just a question, because we talked about his minutes and people point to Russell Westbrook's minutes. And like, I don't have any problem with anybody thinking that. That's fine. But should Keon be getting 12 and Neek getting 23? It's a little situational because of the matchups and people that were out and all this other stuff. But should those be flipped, maybe adjusted a little bit?
I don't know. Given what Neek's role was, by the way, if you're just tuning in, Neek's gone.
Damn. I'm going to title that today's show.
Neek Clifford has gone the way of Flipside.
I'm not even going to joke about what happened this morning with Chauncey and Terry Rozier.
Neek has a right hamstring issue. He's out for the next week. I'm sorry. Thank you. I apologize. You're right. Neek will be reevaluated in a week. Steven says he's not dead. No, but we are, Steven. We're dead. So Neek's got a hamstring issue. He will not play tomorrow. He will not play versus the Lakers. He will not play versus the Thunder. And he will not play versus the Chicago Bulls. I think the circumstances behind your question are a little tough, because Neek started. And he started in a position I don't think is his position. Mm-hmm. So the circumstances probably don't make that a normal, like if Keegan is here, for example, let's just say, and I know this is crazy. Imagine the Kings are healthy, right?
No.
I know. Imagine Keegan's here. Imagine Domas is here. Does Neek play 23 minutes last night?
No.
I don't know the answer to that. So the situation presented itself that Neek was probably going to play a decent amount of minutes. He still played less than I think any other starter. Maybe that's not true, because Drew Eubanks did start. Yeah, he played two more minutes than Drew Eubanks did. But I think the circumstances of last night's game are probably what led more to his 23 minutes than anything else.
Right. So let's just say you start both the game and the second half. Give you 5 minutes apiece right there. That's 10, and then you get, let's just say 6 for argument's sake. 6 minutes apiece to start the half. There was a time in that fourth quarter where Keon got subbed out, Neek got subbed in. A moment like that, maybe Keon should be staying in there instead of Neek Clifford. It's all second guessing. Like, Doug liked what he saw from Neek. The game was, I think it was like a 7-point game at that point in the fourth quarter. Early in the fourth quarter, 8-9 minutes to go, and he's probably like, the young fella's been playing well. Let me go back to him a little bit. So that plays into it as well, but maybe that should have been Keon staying out there with those guys.
Maybe,
because they talk about Westbrook. Westbrook didn't even play that much in the second half,
right?
Like he didn't. I must. I got to go back a minute to watch, but a lot of those probably came in the first half. He had a little bit in the third quarter, and that was it. We didn't see Westbrook in crunch time. We saw Westbrook was gone, and Neek Clifford came back in. And that's why I bring up Neek. Like, Neek was the one that maybe took the minutes away from Keon. You brought up an excellent point. The way Malik was playing also probably took some minutes away from Keon in that respect. So I know a lot of people looking at Russ. Yeah, Russ played, if I have this right, he played 13 of his 18 minutes in the first half.
Mm.
In the second half, he played 5 minutes doing the math. He played 5 minutes.
It's good math. It's common core math.
I don't think, too, this is a recipe for keeping Keon Ellis around long-term either.
So maybe not. Maybe not. So are Doug, this is a little unfair to Doug, are Doug and Mike both wrong about Keon and everyone else is right?
At this point, I just say the organization is how they view Keon.
Well, then that would also imply that somebody is telling them from above.
Well, I mean, as far as just like maybe just, I don't mean like someone's given them, like tell them, oh, like, Keon isn't this or whatever, but it's just the people that have been in that building just don't view him the way we do, I guess.
I mean, and that's like,
but
it's
that's
also
two different sets of people.
Yeah,
though, to your
it's
point.
Scott and Doug, and it's Monty and Mike.
Or maybe it's a league thing.
Maybe everybody else is wrong. Hmm. I'm not saying that as a statement of fact. I'm posing a question as to why different coaches keep saying the same thing. Kyle's talking about ownership. Do we really believe Vivek Ranadive is deciding who plays and who doesn't?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's the.
Do we really, really? I understand the incompetence of this organization and the frustration that surrounds them. Do we really believe this to be true? Vivek Ranadive is buzzing down from his courtside seat, buzzing over from his courtside seat. Hey, don't play the kids with the braids.
The way I see it is that the last GM
come
and coach,
on, man.
And this GM and coach just see him as a role player in the league, and that's just about it.
Does Keon bring something so different than everybody else on the Kings that we just don't see it clearly? We don't see it. Like, what happens in practice that causes these coaches to form this conclusion? Mm. Because it doesn't appear. Doug says all of the same wonderful things about Keon that that Mike said is the New York Knicks head coach. But what is happening that is causing them? If Keon is everything that Kings fans believe that he is, if he's that, how are these two men who have spent their lives in professional basketball missing it?
Say four at this point when you talk about.
Great. Scott, we'll throw in the general managers. Yeah. We talk about Vivek buzzing over. Wouldn't Scott Perry say, hey, this young man's a part of our long-term future, Doug. He is a great basketball player. I have pillars. I have expectations for this team. He meets all of them. I need to see him on the floor. If that comes at the expense of DeMar DeRozan, if it comes at the expense of Zach LaVine or Russell Westbrook or Malik Monk, I don't care. It's what I need to see.
I'm just throwing things at the wall. Could it be simply he's just an undrafted guy and it's just, I guess, a little bit tougher for them to prove themselves? Because I look like I don't know if that's the answer, because like Luke Dort was undrafted and he's important at OKC. And like, I mean, at this point, Keon, they're talking about he's one of the best perimeter defenders on the team. And he shoots
47-3. But who does
3.
That? Who says he's one of the best perimeter defenders on the team?
I think that's something we see around King's Twitter a lot when he's playing and stuff like that.
King's Twitter. I need Doug to say it. Or Scott to say it. I need a decision maker to say that. He's one of the best perimeter. He is the best perimeter defender we have. If we're like, yo, throw Doug to the fire. Doug said last night, hey, we're good. Our offense is good. Defense is going to get the job done. Okay, then why did Keon play only 12 minutes? Well, you know, DeMar was playing well. Zach LaVine was playing well. Malik was playing well. You're right, Doug. Those guys were playing well on offense.
But here's the thing. I think they were playing well on defense.
Mm. I think DeMar was good defensively. I genuinely don't. Nothing stands out to me. I don't think Malik was great defensively.
So
I'm not going to say he was a Kevin Huerter low light reel of disaster,
right?
Or certainly a Luka Doncic 3 minute, you know, Twitter clip. But like, there's a few plays where he, you know, he got beat off the dribble. There's a few plays where I'm not sure that the team was working on a string or a rope or whatever that stupid line was that they used for 3 years. I don't know that was there, but I thought Dennis was good defensively. I thought Dennis had his moments defensively. I thought Neek was good defensively. I actually thought DeMar was good defensively. Mm-hmm. Zach, truthfully, I can't remember anything one way or the other. Malik, I can think of a small handful of plays where I look at and go, okay. But if we're talking about the guy who we claim to be the best perimeter defender in the league, or on the team, mm-hmm. why is he not out there? And the answer to that might be is they don't feel that way. Or there's something that he brings to the table that they don't like. I'm just asking questions.
Was this rumor or was this real report? Did the Warriors ever want him for Kuminga?
Say that again?
The Warriors ever want Keon for Kuminga? Was that ever a report? Was that just a rumor that was thrown around?
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I don't believe so.
So here I'm trying to figure, and I'm watching the game, and Keon did good things out there. He was really good on the defensive end. He came into the game in the third quarter with about four plus minutes left to go in the game. They were up 5 at that point. He played from that moment to the 8:27 mark of the fourth quarter. They were down 7 by the time he left. Once again, not saying it's his fault, but in that situation, if I'm Doug Christie and I'm the coaching staff, we were up 5. There's different guys that took breaks there, whether it was Zach, DeMar, I think not at the same exact, maybe it was at the same time, but they took their breaks. Monk was out there with Keon as well. We're down 7 now. We blew the lead. We were up 5 when he came in. We're down 7 now. I got to go back to these guys. Once again, it doesn't mean that it's Keon's fault, but game is slipping away. Doug just called a timeout. They're down 7. Now, you can make the argument. Somebody would make the argument, take Malik out and leave Keon in.
And so I think there are people who would make that argument because Malik, did you give this number when Malik came in for Neek? It was 84-70.
Okay.
And that's when Neek exited.
Mm-hmm.
And then you noted the Keon number when he came back. It was a 5-point game, you said?
When Keon checked in, it was a 5-point game.
Neek came back, they were down 6 or 7.
Yeah, he subbed in for Keon. They were down 7 when Keon left the game. He was in there that entire time. And but now you got to go back to your guys.
But here's the thing about Keon that is a bit confusing. So Malik checks in, Neek leaves, they're up 14. Mm-hmm. Keon came in for who, did you say?
I'm not sure who he came in for.
Okay.
I just know he checked into the game at that time. I can find it real quick.
It probably doesn't matter. It's a 5-point game when Keon winds up coming back in and Neek comes back. They're down 7. The substitution when Keon came in should have been for Neek Clifford. If we're looking at metrics, Neek should have come back.
You mean Malik? Neek should have came in for Malik?
Whoever Keon came in for at 86-81.
I'm assuming it was Neek. I'll find out, but I'm assuming it was Neek. That would be my guess.
No, I think Malik, okay, I think we're making this confusing. I'm sorry. Malik came in for Neek Clifford. It was 84-70.
Got you.
Keon came back, you said, at 86-81.
Yeah. And as I look at this right now, I'm at the moment right now.
Okay.
Malik just hit a bucket. At this point, when it's 86-81, Malik has 15 points. He's 6 of 7 from the field.
Mm-hmm.
He just hit a jump shot. Then Keon comes into the game. So,
and do we know who Keon came in for?
I'm going to get that for you right now. Looks like he came in for well, I'll find it in a second. But it's a 5-point game. They're up 5. And once again, I'm not saying all that. I think he comes in for Zach LaVine. I'm not saying this to say it's Keon's fault what happened. I'm just going into the trying to go into the mind of Doug Christie and saying, all right, Keon's been out there.
Keon came back in for Dennis. Sorry.
Okay.
Russ subbed for Zach LaVine. Keon came in for Dennis.
Gotcha. So it comes in. It's the, I'm looking more so at that 7-point deficit in the fourth quarter. And I'm not sure DeMar and them had been in the game at that point. And I gotta go back to my guys. And the argument, I think,
DeMar came back in at the same time Keon did.
Yeah, he came in as well with Russ. So the thought process, unless, like I said, unless you're saying Malik should have been out, not you, but just people in general. Yeah, substitution had to be made. I had to go get my guys back in there. We were about to lose this game at 7 minutes, or excuse me, at down 7 mm-hmm. with 9 minutes to go in mm-hmm. the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And Westbrook wasn't involved. Like, he wasn't on the court at that point in the fourth quarter. And if he was, he got
subbed
out.
Yeah, Dennis had come back in. No. Dennis had come back in for Russ when they were down 2.
And
LaVine came in for DeMar. Dennis came in for Russ.
And Toy says, if Zach ain't cooking, put Keon in. That's, come on, man. Like, the guy, he had 24 halfway through the third quarter.
Yeah.
He was playing well. And if he misses one or two shots, you don't say, let's get him out of there and get Keon.
And that's
you let him go for the rest of the game.
And that's what we were talking about earlier. Doug is more likely to, like, the guy who I think had the greatest impact on Keon Ellis's minutes was not Russell Westbrook, nor DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine. It was Malik Monk.
I agree.
It was the way Malik was playing that Doug wanted to continue to ride that out. I think if Malik is having a sketchy night, an up-and-down night or something like that, we're going to see Keon Ellis more. I think if DeMar DeRozan or Zach LaVine are having a sketchy night, we're probably not veering too much from them in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. I think Doug will tend to trust those two guys to get a bucket when you need it, regardless of what the first, we'll say, 43 minutes of the game have looked like. I think he would tend to trust those two guys a little bit more than he would trust Malik Monk in that situation. Mm-hmm. Not that Malik can't have the same impact in the fourth quarter that those two guys do, but I think he'd lean on those vets a little bit more.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.